We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Down goes Big Blue. The tournament delivered on the first day, Perloff, with Kentucky losing again to a double-digit seed. This time, it was Oakland, the Golden Grizzlies, winning the first NCAA tournament game in the coach's 40 years at the school. One of the players on the team hit 10 three-pointers in this game, and they send Cal and the Wildcats packing. The question is, was that the last game that John Calipari has coached for the Wildcats?
Okay, just eyeballing that game, it was 38-35 at half. You could just tell Oakland's just as good a team as Kentucky, and the reason is Kentucky has freshmen out there on the court. Their big men are bigger, that's true, but their guards are less experienced, so it is not surprising when you look back at it, and that is the problem with Kentucky basketball. They are just consistently too young. I don't care where you're going in the draft. If you're 18 or 19, you're not stopping my man, 24-year-old Jack Golke? Jack Golke, yeah. My guy, lifelong fan.
Yeah, sure.
So I think you saw exactly the problem with Kentucky last night, that their star players are just not developed yet.
Okay, well, that to me doesn't mean you throw Calipari out onto the street. And that's what a lot of people are calling for today. And I know you are one of them who thinks that this is a slide and a downturn that can't be salvaged. And that's where you and I are going to disagree. I know that Kentucky is the premier program, one of them, in college hoops. I understand that they would have a lot of very good candidates to come in here. But with a team, with a sport like basketball, I think you're just one talented class away. Like, I will still believe that you are still one talented class away.
How can you get a more talented class than any class they've had? There's no, I mean, listen, they had, look at some of their lineups. They had Jamal Murray and Devin Booker there at this basically the same time. There's no more talented class. It doesn't matter who you bring in. Who are you going to bring in? A young LeBron and Wembanyama to team up? There's no more talented class than they've had. It just doesn't work anymore.
Okay, well, this is the thing. Why couldn't it work with some tweaks? Why do you have to throw everything out? It feels like people want to throw out the last 15 years. Because all of a sudden now I'm hearing not only can Cal not win now, but it's like he never could win. It's like we didn't see four Final Fours. We never saw seven Elite Eights here. We never saw a national championship. I get it. The star power is there. And maybe it's more stars than championships, but you were able to align both. You were able to align star power with being a really competitive team. And listen, how many championships has Duke won in the last 10 years? Like, it's not easy to do this, and I don't want to just get rid of someone, a recruiter like Cal and a talented coach like Calipari. Listen, is he the best X's and O's coach? No, neither is Andy Reid. You can still win even if you are not the best X's and O's coach.
That's not the point, though. The point is his style of recruiting is no longer working. And yes, he could cover up some of his flaws with that talent. And he's not the worst coach. I mean, it's just hard. It's hard to coach 18-year-olds. It's a lot easier when you have a guy who's 24. So that's one thing to say. Maybe it defends his coaching that he just doesn't have the experience. And our guy last night, Reed Sheppard, possibly a top 10 pick in the NBA, he's clearly not developed, Maggie.
Right. Well, he should come back. See, that's the thing. Yeah. He should come back. I'm not going to tell a guy don't make money in the NBA. But you know what? To be honest, like, it's not as dire now. You used to be able to make no money. Yep. Ha-ha. Ha-ha. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But you weren't making any money. Now you're making NIL. If you want to develop, I mean, I would stay the extra year. Yep. He's going to go to the NBA and he's going to get torched.
So, by the way, you say bring in one great class. Can I give you the 2014 John Calipari class? He brought in Karl-Anthony Towns, Trey Lyles, Devin Booker, and Tyler Ulis. If that four guys can't win a title? There's no class out there.
Perloff, they went to the Final Four.
They didn't win a title with that class. I mean, that's...
But going to the Final Four, like, that isn't that sort of...
No, that's the thing with Kentucky. Kentucky was a disappointment. Even when they won that title with Anthony Davis, John Calipari, I think the perception out there, he was still underachieving with his talent. I mean, he was basically... Future Hall of Famers were coming in. He should have won more with that talent.
Wasn't that an undefeated team that lost in the Final Four? They were 38-1.
Disappointing.
Okay, but guys, that's a disappointment. Come on. Now we're really kidding ourselves.
Wait. This is Kentucky we're talking about.
I think Final Fours in college hoops, I think we do this with Duke. We do this with North Carolina. We do this with Kansas.
No.
I think so.
No, and we don't do it with Duke either. Duke not winning a title is a disappointing year. Back when Coach K was near his prime.
Also, I mean, we talk about Final Fours. I mean, it's been three? I'm looking at
four for
four,
Cal.
Four and one championship.
Going back how long?
15 years with Cal's there.
Right. He's been there for 15 years. You've had the best talent every single year. And it's kind of what I mentioned earlier, Perloff reading that recruiting class. Devin Booker and Karl-Anthony Towns come into next year in the NBA. They're immediately impact players. Karl-Anthony Towns, rookie of the year. Devin Booker, immediate star. Like, do you see the players that Kentucky's bringing in, these one-and-done guys? Do you look at them and say, those guys are going to be dogs next year? No.
Wait a minute.
It's the caliber of player he's getting from high school, even if they are highly ranked, just aren't as good.
Right. Okay. Wait. Hold on. Just going, we can talk about that. We can talk about developing talent. But let's go back through Kentucky, right? You're like, Cal, he only won one championship. How many championships did Rick Pitino win? One. How many championships did Tubby Smith win? One.
Yeah, but Tubby Smith, that's who he wants to be?
Well, that was the year after Rick Pitino.
Well, Rick Pitino rebuilt Kentucky. That's not fair.
Okay, whatever. So John Calipari rebuilt Kentucky. I mean, they were in a bad spot.
But there was not. But Rick Pitino had, Eddie Sutton had those sanctions that they were coming from. Now, look, Rick Pitino probably didn't give Kentucky some sanctions, but they were coming off a massive recruiting violation when Kentucky took that program over.
I'm just saying, John Calipari took it over, and within 3 years... He had won a title.
But Pitino also won elsewhere, too. I mean...
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. But John Calipari also took UMass to a Final Four. So, you know, God, it's not like we haven't had success other places. That's why I think that everyone's being a little too hard on Cal right now. It's easy to dunk on him now today. And it's easy because they lost to St. Peter's 2 years ago, and that was disappointing. Yeah. You lost to Kansas State last year. It's disappointing. And now you lose again.
Princeton last year.
No, that was Kansas State last year.
Oh, Kansas State in the second round, yeah.
Oh, okay. What did they? Oh, they didn't lose. They weren't. That was Arizona lost to Princeton. Yeah. My bad. But yeah, I mean, by the way, one more class. Look at 2016. De'Aaron Fox, Bam Adebayo, and Malik Monk. I mean, come on.
And also, come on, Maggie. And
Malik Monk, though, wasn't very good at the beginning of his NBA career. It's taken a bit since him going from Charlotte to Sacramento. These guys do have to develop.
Now you're downgrading Malik Monk. I mean, that's what you got here.
Malik Monk was on the way to being, I think, probably a little bit of a bust, and Sacramento resurrected the career.
But think about these teams Cal's had, though. Looking at the rankings before the season for most of these years, like 2013, number three, 2014, number one, number two, number five, number two, number two. He's coming into these seasons with expectations that they're going to be in the Final Four every year. It's not like this is a team that's ranked 20 or 23, and they're like, well, if they make the Final Four, well, that would be a great accomplishment because nobody expected that. People came in every year in the last decade thinking they were going to win a championship, and he has won?
Okay,
Rick Pitino was, again, taking over a whole different situation. Tubby Smith, he had a great team, but he was there for a short time period. Calipari's been there for 14 years.
Okay, well, let's go back to Duke then. I think Duke would have similar profile, similar great players, and similar expectations. Would we not say that? The last time they won the national title was what? 2014, 2015. Cal's was 2012. So we're talking about at least the same neighborhood.
And where's Coach K right now?
Well, he's retired, but here's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at lost the regional semifinal, second round, regional final, 2 years to make the tournament, one was COVID year. Then you're in the Final Four, 2021, and then since it's been second round, and then we'll see what they do this year. It's not like it's been Final Four after Final Four after Final Four. Guys, like, you're putting Cal and you're putting up this standard and saying, like, he's failing where all these other coaches are thriving, and I'm just giving you other teams of the same profile are doing the same thing.
But Cal,
everyone's trying to figure out life after one and done.
Cal hasn't been past second round since 2019. That's not good.
And so
is it 1-3 or 1-4 in the last five tournament games?
But if I'm to believe that it doesn't matter, if as long as you don't win the championship, it doesn't matter. And I'm telling you, Duke hasn't been winning the championship. They got to one Final Four in this time, the same time frame we're talking about, basically the last 10 years.
Well, one Final Four and then one title.
And they won a title. And they won a title 2014, 2015, and Cal won one in 2012. They're not that far away from each
other.
They're
pretty, actually, you just described, Duke's been more successful. But
it doesn't matter if you go to the Final Four.
Coach K lost his mojo. There's no doubt about it. Just like, he's gone. I mean, eventually Cal's going to be gone. The question is, can he change his style before he's 65, it becomes too late? And just his style, he seems kind of stubborn. He seems stuck to this one way of doing things.
I think a primary difference also is, unfortunately for Cal Perry, the record on paper could look similar to Coach K, but unfortunately we have eyeballs. So we watch his team making stupid mistakes, leaving guys open, not being able to pass and catch. We watch them make grade school basketball mistakes constantly, where when we watch Coach K teams lose, they lost, but we didn't sit here saying, oh my God, Coach K, what was going on? Like, what was that defense? How come they didn't adjust? We don't ask those questions because Coach K is a much better coach than him. Well, we all know it.
I think it's just because you don't have, going back to what was the last time Duke lost to Lehigh with C.J. McCollum.
All right, you're going back to
we're going back far. No, we're going back far, but that's the embarrassing one. Cal's had two embarrassing ones in the last 3 years, basically. So that it's the recency of that. But if you're talking about, let's expand it out to the last 10 years, it's not like Duke has been this rocket ship and Kentucky has been sitting on the side of the road with a flat tire.
I don't know. Also, one thing, Duke's had amazing players, obviously, but Kentucky's really had amazing players. So I think at the end of the day, that's a disappointment.
Yeah, but Duke recruits whoever they want to.
Yeah, but I think you're saying,
that's why I'm bringing Duke up.
I thought you were about to say, but Kentucky, all those guys are one and done. So that's the excuse.
Yeah, Duke, they're one and done. Jason Tatum's one and done. Those guys are all one and done.
I mean, to be fair, I mean, Coach K really adopted the John Calipari school, but I think a lot of people will argue he's been doing it better than Cal for the last 10 years or so.
Okay, but what happened? It started to change. What I'm saying is the landscape has started to change, and it's been relatively recent. So to think that Cal couldn't catch up with it, to me, that would be the mistake.
But in Coach K's last year, he went to the Final Four.
Yeah, but also, that being said, I think everyone agreed Coach K had lost his fastball by the end.
And even if that's the case.
Yeah, they were not the dominant team. They would have. You don't think they were ready to move on from Coach K?
No, but so we're talking about the last 10 years, and you're telling me Coach K went to a Final Four. I'm telling you Coach Calipari went to a championship game and lost, and apparently that doesn't matter.
It doesn't, because that's years ago.
Carl Anthony Towns. It wasn't,
No, but I'm saying Mike Krzyzewski's last season with one-and-done guys, he went to a Final Four. Coach Cal's been coaching with these one-and-done guys for I don't know how many years, since 2019, not even getting to the second weekend. I think that's a major difference. I think we see the tournament success that Coach K had in more recent times compared to what Cal Perry's done recently.
I get it, but that was also, if you look at winning the national title for Duke in 2014, 2015, and then making it back to the Final Four, it was 8 years in between. So it's not like that was the consistency. They were consistently still going to the Final Four. They're losing in the second round. They're losing in the regional final, the Elite Eight. It's not like they were there every single year. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't think the profiles are that far apart.
Right. I think it was time for both coaches to move on, to be honest.
Well, Coach K definitely did. Adrian's in Maryland's got a thought on Coach Calipari's future. Hey, Adrian, what's up?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Hey, my thought is it's probably time for Coach K, Coach Calipari to move on. His coaching style is he needs superstars. He's not a big X's and O's guy, because last night they were settling for threes and they were killing Oakland inside. All they had to do was continue to go inside, but they decided, we'll go 3-for-3 against them, which didn't work. You see Carolina, I think they shot 5 three-pointers yesterday because they knew if they went inside, they would eventually wear them out. And Coach Calipari just did not do that last night.
Yeah, Adrian, I mean, listen, also UNC was going up against a team that only had 7 players on the roster and a big height advantage. But you're right. Cal, definitely not the X's and O's coach, baffling game plan. And let's also call it what it is. You literally had a guy on the other team set a record for three-pointers made. That dude couldn't miss.
But they did. They kind of locked them up in the second half. They basically like they were playing a box and one.
Yeah.
But like I said, they just did not make any adjustments at halftime to just go inside and get them in foul trouble. The biggest guy Oakland had, I think, was 6'7". The two big guys on Kentucky are 6'10" and 7 foot. You got to wear them down inside. But we're so in love with the three-pointers nowadays. So, hey.
And this was the best three-point shooting team in the history of Kentucky basketball.
They hit some bombs late in the game to keep it even close. I wondered the same thing. Why don't they every time they go down low, it's a layup.
Yeah, right.
It was weird. But then again, a big function of this is the three-point line just makes parity in college basketball. And it's, you know, it's been like that for 10 years, but now it's more than ever when this guy yesterday just could not miss.
But that's one thing too.
Adrian, thank you for the phone call, dude. Good to hear from
you. That's one thing too about Golkey, because he was awesome last night. But this guy, this is what he does, okay? And I'm not saying he's going to always make 10 threes, but I think he's taking like 32-pointers all season.
I think it's eight.
Or maybe it's less than that.
Like, 8 2-pointers all year long.
This guy, this is all he does. How does he come in and he's getting rhythm looks immediately? Now, yeah, eventually he's okay, let's face guard, let's pick him up full court. How is that not plan A? How is that not your plan A? And how is their plan A to say, hey, we're going to go zone, and they don't have to make any adjustment?
To me, that was the problem.
Figure that out.
That was Kentucky's. First, Golkey didn't score much in the last 10 minutes of the game.
Right.
The other guys stepped up. The fact
DQ,
that
how about that guy? What a cool name.
Yeah, the fact that, and wasn't there a guy named Rebel or something? There was a guy, the point guard. There was another guard who had a great name. Oakland's awesome. But the fact that they couldn't solve it wasn't that complicated a zone. It looked like Kentucky had no idea what to do against it.
Shaheen Holloway did the exact same thing to them 2 years ago. You had 2 years to come up with this game plan to fix this, and you still haven't figured out how to do a zone? John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins lost because they couldn't figure out a zone. That's 12 years ago. We're still dealing with this? We're still dealing with this, Coach Cal? Really?
This is why you want to get rid of him. 855-212-4CBS. I say not yet. 855-212-4227. Okay, coming up, we are going to get more into the Shohei Ohtani controversy. Reporters are all over this, including The Athletic. So we are going to get some more in-depth from some boots on the ground reporting on Shohei Ohtani. Also, Perloff is king for a day.
Yeah.
So there's only one victim left.
Oh, Peter Schwartz. By the way, Rocket Watts was the guy I was talking about, not Rebel.
Rocket Watts is a cool name.
Yeah, Oakland just had way too many cool players here. Trey Townsend
was cool. His dad was there as the photographer, right? And then DQ
that was awesome.
Hit the three-pointer in the corner. That was like, oh, man, they're going to win.
That seemed lucky to me. But that was incredible. That being said, now they play my guy DJ Burns at NC State. The two probably most lovable teams in this entire tournament. One of them has to go home. Sad.
Well, speaking of lovable, what is this going to look like our next break? YouTube.com/CBS Sports Radio, twitch.tv/CBS Sports Radio. Apparently, Peter Schwartz is going to sing and dance the Macarena next. If you are not by a computer, we will describe this to you in the complete accuracy with all the details that you're going to need. Theater of the mind, people. Don't move. Maggie and Perla.
Oh, this has been such a great week so far. It's March Madness. Just sit on your couch, watch basketball all night. That's all I am doing this weekend. We're going to get crazy rain, Maggie. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait to watch my bracket go up in flames. But I won the Maggie and Perloff Day 1 contest, had the most W's. So I'm king for a day here. And that means that I've gotten to make everybody either sing or read embarrassing lyrics from our one-hit wonders. By the way, the one-hit wonder tournament going on all month long. That's going to be super exciting as well. But, Maggie, of course, you did a dramatic reading of Who Let the Dogs Out.
Who? I heard a woman shout out. Ha, ha, ha.
EJ did made a bad song in Ice Ice Baby considerably worse.
Stop. And, yo, I don't know. Turn off the lights and now glow to the stream. I rock a mic and like a vandal. Light up a stage and wax a chump like a candle. Dance.
And then, of course, we all knew this. Pete Bellotti is just too sexy.
I'm too sexy for my shirt.
Yes.
Yeah. The new title of his 15th book, after What's the Matter With You People, What's Wrong With Everybody, and How Dare You.
Yes.
We get a departure. You know, it's like when someone writes under a pseudonym, they want to write a different kind of story. This is when we get Pete Bellotti writing, I'm too sexy for my shirt.
Well, we get some kids' books in there as well.
Yes, try I'm too sexy for my shirt as a kid's book. We're going to put you on a list somewhere. You have to introduce yourself to your neighbors.
I gave Peter Schwartz doing the updates. I actually gave him a choice between 99 Luftballons in German. I could go 500 miles. I don't know what the 500 mile song is called.
Yeah, the Proclaimers. Yeah.
But Pete chose Macarena, and not only did he choose it, he was thrilled, excited, exhilarated to do Macarena.
Everyone does. It's a one-hit wonder. But we were told you are also going to be dancing and singing. So you'd like to...
Well, I didn't say I would dance. I said I'd like to dance to it. But well,
that's pretty much in the radio industry much- saying, I'm about to dance.
You're begging us to let you dance here.
Do you have the lyrics in front of you?
I do not.
Okay. I do.
Are we going to give them a little musical accompaniment? Do we have it?
Okay. No, you're going to have to acapella this. I mean...
And dance?
You can't dance and be on mic.
Do the hand signals.
The hand signals, right?
Okay, so. Then after we'll do this for social and you'll do it for real.
Okay.
By the way,
I have to do this as in Bane's voice?
Yes.
Oh, right.
Of course.
There's a lot going on. Perloff is king for a day. He's making all of us do silly things. Peter Schwartz is the last person who has to do something, and it's doing the Macarena in Bane's voice with the arm movements. The floor is yours, sir.
This was awful years ago.
No excuses. Sing.
If you're on YouTube right now, that his face really is that red. You are completely red right now.
Macarena has a boyfriend who they call by the name of Vitorino. And when he... I can't sing and
keep going.
Go.
Let me do it. Let me start it over again.
Okay.
Please don't.
Macarena has a boyfriend who they call by the name of Vitorino. And when he left to sign up for the army, she was giving it away to his two friends. Macarena has a boyfriend who they call by the name of Vitorino. And when he left to sign up for the army, she was giving it away to his two friends. Give a little loving to your body, Macarena, because your body's made for love and feeling good. It's a no-brainer. Give a little loving to your body, Macarena. Hey, Macarena.
Hey.
Oh, wow.
Wow. What Bravo.
Wow.
You Arnold Schwarzenegger a little at the end. Get to the jump, Macarena.
Okay
well done. I also didn't know that Macarena was a song about sex.
I kind of knew
every
that.
Song is, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. There were Spanish lyrics and English lyrics. The Spanish lyrics would have been good too, but I didn't think you could handle that.
No. Sometimes I can't handle English.
Well done, Peter. You are no longer king for a day, or do you want to hold on to this for the next half?
We'll see what I can come up with in the next half. We have a guest coming up. I can make him sing something.
Yeah. Congrats, maybe. Sam. You got 99
Mambo love number five.
It's raining men.
It's raining men. Yeah. By the way, that was high. I don't even know if that's in our bracket, but that was considered.
And now you're going to have to, you know, do Aha, Take on Me.
Take on Me, I don't know if that's embarrassing enough. That's actually a decent song, unlike most of these one-hit wonders.
Wow. Peter Schwartz, bravo. Yeah, any headlines
job.
For us?
We'll just hit one here because I know we're up against the clock. Let's start with the big dance. We'll tip off in the East region.
Watts with 10 to shoot. Shovels that pass back out to Wells. Wells back to Watts. He'll launch a three on the right wing. And he hits! Oh, the freshman from deep on the right wing. 61-59. Cougars, their first lead since 45 seconds into the second half.
That was Kevin Kugler on the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. Number 7, Washington State beat Drake. Number 10, 66-61. Isaac Jones, 20 points, 11 boards. South region, number 3, Kentucky, upset by number 14, Oakland, 80-76. Kentucky head coach John Calipari summing up the loss.
We had some guys that didn't play the way they'd been playing all year. We did everything we could. We knew the zone would be tough, but we miss shots we don't miss. And, you know, the preparation, I thought they were in a great, trying to keep them loose. But when the game started, you had some guys not play to the level they could play.
Calipari, courtesy of CBS.
Really taking the accountability there. Say, like, hey, I had them ready to play. They just missed shots.
Jack Golke led Oakland with 32 points, including 10 three-pointers. Let me skip ahead to the NBA from last night. And once again, let's listen to our friend Andrew Bogut.
He finds Dennis Smith Jr. off the right wing, across the lane, and Lillard stripped him. Lillard leaves the break. Beasley spots up. Corner three. And a shimmy shake out of that corner from Malik Beasley as the Bucks push the lead to 5.
Okay, now this is all well and good. Bogut sounds great during the Nets-Bucks game. He's a consummate pro. I'm a little bummed, though, even though, Peter, that was an excellent rendition of the Macarena in Bane's voice. We could have had Bogut doing, like, Stacey's mom or something. He's out here calling Dame Lillard highlights, like a pro.
Does him being away doing the Nets game abstain him?
It's a great question because if we're actually going to the scoreboard, he's in last place of the people on the show.
Oh.
So I don't know if that would have put him in play for any additional torture.
So he loves Dave Matthews Band. So who's the opposite of Dave Matthews Band to make him sing? Something like
heavy metal?
Well, Funky Town's doing really well.
Katrina and the Waves.
Yeah. Oh, he's not walking on sunshine in any way. He's not a happy song guy. Don't worry, be happy.
Whoop, there it is. Yeah. We really could add some good ones for
Bogus. I mean, honestly, the punishment for him should have been having me sing one of his favorite Dave Matthews songs.
EJ doing Crash would be worth the price of admission. Oh, my God.
Is happening at some point.
That would maybe kill him.
Do you know any Dave Matthews songs?
Absolutely not.
It doesn't matter if EJ knows the song or not. They both come out the same. Sorry, EJ.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I did have the thought, why is Bogus slumming with us? That was such a good call.
I know. Don't say it. Someone's going to hire him.
Yeah, we're going to stop playing those Bogus clips. They're too good.
Basically playing a resume tape for the guy. We need that dude. Peter, thank you.
You're welcome.
Fantastic.
Very nice to see everybody.
Great to see you. Great job doing the Macarena Payne's voice.
I got Baby Got Back for Bogus. That'd be great.
But is that the opposite of Dave Matthews? I feel like Dave Matthews would cover that maybe.
No, there's Baby Got Back works. It's a very versatile song. Any situation.
It?
Yeah.
Any situations? What?
Oh yeah.
Funerals?
A christening, a funeral. If that starts playing, everyone starts sort of bopping along and smiling. That's how it works.
It's always good to say my anaconda don't want none unless you got buns, hon.
How can you not smile when that lyric comes out?
Well, here we go. Is it, are we here? No, not yet. Okay.
Our guests did not have to hear that.
All right. Well, let's transition as easily as we can from us doing punishments because Perloff is king for a day to a very serious unfolding story, which is the Shohei Ohtani gambling story. And Sam Blum, covers baseball for The Athletic and has covered the Angels for The Athletic. And he is on top of this Shohei story. Sam, thanks so much for the time. I know it's very early where you are, so thank you for getting up for us.
Of course, happy to.
So Sam, okay, a lot to unpack here with Shohei Ohtani, his translator, Ipe Mezuhara, who's now has implicated himself in this gambling this illegal bookmaker who's now getting busted. We know the gambling debts are massive. The big question, did Shohei Ohtani float money to Mizuhara willingly, or did Mizuhara potentially steal that money from Shohei Ohtani? But quickly, the relationship between Shohei and Mizuhara, you've covered the Angels. How would you describe the relationship between superstar player and translator?
I would say there's just a lot of reliance on Shohei Ohtani's part for his interpreter. I mean, I would say that interpreter is really the loosest term for what I would call Ipe. I mean, he really was, he was like his driver. He bought his groceries. He's, basically his coach in a lot of ways, bringing out scouting reports mid-game. They would work out before games, be play catch, throw plyo balls against the wall like that. Shohei really operated in his own world in a lot of times when it came to, preparing for games. So there was always just Ipe with him. The entire team really communicated to Shohei through Ipe. So it was, this was a really reliant relationship. And I'll be curious to see exactly, beyond the whole scandalous nature of this, just for Ohtani and this massive contract that he signed with the Dodgers, this is someone that was a huge part of everything that he did. And so it's not just as simple as losing an interpreter. I think there will be a huge hole for him, as he navigates the baseball in a lot of ways. Probably more prepared for it now than he was a couple of years ago, but it's still something to look for. And obviously, there's beyond that, there's a lot of other questions when it comes to the possible legal issues here and Ohtani's potential culpability in it. There's still a lot of answers that we don't know. A lot of questions we don't know the answers to.
Sam, you interviewed probably Ipe many, many times in Los Angeles. Do you have any sense of his character? Were you shocked? Who knows what actually happened, but were you shocked to read that he was involved with something like this? Because he struck me as quite popular.
Yeah, it's not necessarily a referendum on his character or anything. He was a great person to deal with and very friendly and good interpreter, and I had no issues on that front. I mean, I think any that type of relationship is fairly baseline, so you don't really know exactly what somebody's dealing with or, you know, what they're possibly mixed up in at all times. I think nothing really shocks me, to be honest with you, and I don't necessarily, I guess to some extent this is really surprising, like, you know, $4.5 million in gambling debt. I don't know how somebody gets in that much debt as an interpreter, but still, it's it's shocking. I mean, and it's surprising, and I couldn't say I telegraphed this coming, and you know, I'd have a hard time believing there are many that could. But if you know Ipe and you know that he's a gambler, maybe it's more possible to see coming.
Sam Blum is joining us. He is a baseball writer for The Athletic, covering the Angels, so obviously knows about Shohei Ohtani and the relationship between him and his translator Ipe Mizuhara, who's now in a lot of hot water from both the feds and the IRS. Everyone's investigating bets he made allegedly with a legal bookmaker. We'll just have a lot more to unpack after that. Sam, you know, we've all been around sports a lot, so sometimes guys who English is not their first language, it doesn't mean they can't speak the language. They just don't feel comfortable doing that in front of the media. But behind closed doors, we know they actually do speak English rather well. This has happened quite a bit. Does Shohei Ohtani actually speak English, or what level of English does he actually speak, not just what he presents to the media?
I think he speaks, I mean, from my understanding, he speaks fairly, I think, like you said, he speaks very, you know, I don't know if it's fluent, but it's very good English. He always, whenever you're asking him a question, he's usually, like, nodding along. Like, he understands what you're asking. And at times he's even, I think he's done a couple more. Like, he had a speech at the Baseball Writers Dinner to accept his MVP award. I think that was back in December or January. And you know, he accepted and had a speech in English. I think he's done a couple more interviews in English recently. So he's become a little bit more comfortable speaking English. I don't necessarily think that the language, barrier is going to be the biggest transition for him without Ipe. I think it's going to be all the other things that Ipe kind of did to kind of, you know, coddle him in a lot of ways. But, you know, he's still going to need, if he still feels more comfortable with an interpreter, they're going to have to find somebody, that can do that for him, because he's in demand for communication. And if that's what he feels most comfortable, then they're going to have to find some sort of solution here. But yeah, I mean, he speaks pretty good English. I mean, I think you can keep a pretty solid conversation going with him. But you know, everything he says gets parsed so much by the world that watches his every word. So he needs to feel comfortable with what he's saying, you know, actually being interpreted correctly.
Yeah, we ain't seen nothing yet. If he's going to be eventually maybe involved in an investigation. So here's why I ask that question is not so much about the baseball side moving forward, but let's say that, you know, Ohtani's camp is going to say maybe he was duped, right? Like, maybe he didn't know where the wire transfers were going. You know, maybe he didn't understand what was happening. Considering you're telling us he does speak English, you know, would that be hard to believe for someone who actually knows Ohtani that he, you know, not that he couldn't be duped, people can get duped, but that the language barrier would be the reason he could have been duped?
I don't know. You know, it's hard for me to speculate on like what could have possibly. There's so many different iterations of what could be happening here. It could be anywhere from Ohtani being, you know, directly involved, to him being duped, to him being stolen from, to him kind of being just like a good friend and doing something that he didn't realize was illegal and incredibly dumb. I mean, there's a lot of different possibilities here. I don't know if it would be the language barrier. I think if anything, it's more likely that Ipe was. This is just pure speculation, but I mean, Ipe did a lot for him, and managing his finances could have been part of that. So I don't know what exactly could have been, what could be the impetus for all this. I think there's a lot of questions that still need to be answered, and really, I think that Shohei Ohtani is going to need to come out and answer questions at some point. He was, you know, kind of blocked off by the Dodgers PR staff in their final game in Korea the other day, but at this point, I mean, you know, he's a grown adult. This is his responsibility to kind of answer for this, whether that's with an interpreter or whether that's in English or whatever it is. This is something that he's going to have to talk about someone at some point soon.
Yeah, Sam, logistically, what's going to happen here? The Dodgers are coming back from Korea. I imagine the media crush is going to be unbelievable around the Dodgers right now. Are they going to make it? Do you have any knowledge? Are they going to make a statement? Or what kind of strategy can the team take?
I mean, the Dodgers, I believe, had a brief statement about it, but I mean, the Dodgers so far, you know, it's not always been smooth sailing with having Ohtani, you know, be available at all times. But hopefully that they recognize that this is a significantly important, you know, moment for him to address this, and he's responsible for addressing it in some capacity. I think it was reasonable for him to want to maybe take a beat the other day. But, I mean, at this point, you know, the Dodgers get back. They have a home game, exhibition home game against the Angels on Sunday. I don't know what the situation will be with him being present or not, just given the long travel and it being an exhibition game. But we'll see. But the next time that he's at that ballpark, you know, they can't wall him off for the rest of the season. I mean, he's gonna have to address this. He's been playing in games. I think that Major League Baseball, to some extent, is going to have to address this, whether that's announcing some sort of investigation or that they're looking into this. I mean, that's significant here too. So that there's a lot of people that are still going to need to get involved in this that just haven't yet. And right now, it's just all speculation and all questions.
Yes, Sam Blum's joining us from The Athletic, covers the Angels, covers baseball for The Athletic. So Major League Baseball, what are their options here? I mean, there's a lot to figure out, but what could be on the table, maybe best case scenario and worst case scenario? What could Ohtani be looking at?
I mean, I think at this point, like, there's a legal process that's going to be playing out with this bookmaker, and I imagine that, there's going to be some sort of investigation into whatever is being alleged by Ohtani's camp about eBay. But I mean, if there's an investigation that takes place and it's a federal investigation of some kind, I mean, that would take precedent. I think Major League Baseball needs to look into this. I don't know exactly what Ohtani could be looking at. There's some precedent for, players. I think like Jared Cosart was, suspended for some sort of gambling situation. I don't know if it's like completely, related to what Ohtani's dealing with. This is somewhat unprecedented. So I think that Major League, and gambling in and of itself is a more modern problem in the game and or at least concern for problems in the game. And you want to root it out, especially with these offshore, like, bookmakers and even, like, FanDuel and DraftKings and stuff like that. So there's a lot of concerns, I think, but I don't know exactly what the punishment Ohtani could be looking at. It really depends on what his culpability is and what they find. And then, if there is culpability, I imagine it can range from anywhere from a fine to a suspension to, something more serious than that. So we'll have to let that play out. I wouldn't want to speculate too much on exactly what he's looking at.
Sam, sorry, 30 seconds left. You covered Ohtani with the Angels, so you understand him and his relationship with Mizuhara, his translator. There's, like, right. Everyone's got one part of this story that just seems inexplicable. Like, to me, it's how could Ohtani put his name on the wire transfers? Just makes no sense. You know Ohtani, you know Mizuhara, you're there covering him day to day. Is there one part of this story that you just can't get past? Like, what's the one thing that's hanging you up that you find most fascinating?
I have a hard time believing that this would, I mean, this is my own belief, like, that Ipe Mizuhara would just, like, steal money from this guy. I mean, Ohtani is, like, responsible for everything in this guy's life, and he seems genuinely very humbled by that. Like, and I'm a pretty cynical person, and I even just being around Ipe, like, you could tell this really was, like, something that he found surreal in his life. I think gambling debts could possibly, change somebody's perspective and utilize every, addicts, tend to hurt the people they love most. But I mean, still, I have a hard time believing that this is just a complete, theft and betrayal. But we'll see. It's interesting.
Sam, thank you so much. Sam Blum from The Athletic, covering the Angels and baseball. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Take care.
All right.
Wow, that Angels-Dodgers preseason game on Sunday is going to be bananas. I mean, we all hate the fact that the Dodgers already have two games on the books and are going back to spring training. But, I mean, Shohei against the Angels is already a storyline, and now you got all this. Even if he doesn't show up, every teammate's going to have to answer 1,000 questions.
Absolutely crazy. Coming back, we have the top 5 moments from the Maggie and Perloff show from the week. Something tells me some of our singing may make the list. Don't move, Maggie.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I got five on it.
It's been a big week on Maggie and Perloff. Five on it. Here are the week's top 5 moments at 5 after.
Or at 48 after. Things happen. News breaks. Kentucky loses. Shohei Ohtani gets wrapped up in gambling scandals. And sometimes the 5 after has to move to a different segment, and that's what's happening today. Top 5 moments from the Maggie and Perloff show from the week.
It's 5 after somewhere, Maggie.
That's what they
say. As they say.
Yeah, sounds like a song. Number 5. EJ with a challenge to a rival show, fellow show. We don't really rival them. A fellow show on CBS Sports Network. Maybe a little game of dodgeball?
We should be a team that has to face another show. Oh. I think we should face the Zach Gelb show. I'm putting it out there right now.
I want
smoke with Stu. I want smoke with Rich Ackerman. I want smoke with Samter.
Rich Ackerman. Samter's tough.
I'll take an elimination to hit Samter in the head.
There you go. Got to work out the details of that. Never heard anyone come for Rich Ackerman before. But EJ did. Okay.
First time for everything.
Number 4, we talked to our pal Nick Costos about from You Better You Bet, how to fill out your bracket. But the trash talk went, of course, to Perloff's Eagles and Nick's New York Giants.
You are welcome to your incorrect opinions. I got way too much going on to get angry about that 2 months after the fact. Well, Perloff, you know, you got bigger fish to fry now. Like, you just overpaid your favorite team, a running back who's going to play in like 9 games this season, buddy. So congratulations on that.
There you go. A little Saquon Barkley trash talk from Nick Costos.
Costos and I have constant beef.
He's kind of really angry in that clip.
No, that's just how he talks.
He's mad. He's mad about some other stuff because I keep making fun of him backing Dan Campbell. There's history here. This goes way back.
It does go way back to a couple months ago.
yeah, true.
Number 3 on the list of the best moments of the week from the Maggie and Perloff show. How do we leave out our pal Andrew Bogish calling NBA games? This is what it sounds like.
He finds Dennis Smith Jr. off the right wing, across the lane, and Lillard stripped him. Lillard leaves the break. Beasley spots up. Corner 3. And a shimmy shake out of that corner from Malik Beasley as the Bucks push the lead to 5.
Guys, no more promoting Andrew Bogut. Someone's going to hear this. He's going to leave us, and he's going to go get an NBA play-by-play job somewhere. What are we doing?
Is his head going to be too big when he comes in on Monday? Is he going to fit through here? I'm just worried we're not going to be able to make fun of Bogut.
It's going to be tough. All right. Number 2 of the best moments of the Maggie and Perloff show from the week, Jordan Cornett, former Notre Dame basketball player, now calling games on Westwood 1, actually was part of the call last night. Kentucky gets upset by Oakland, but he joined us earlier in the week. And he does no love for the NIT tournament.
Are you guys filling out your NIT bracket? Who do you guys have in the Final Four? Which team do you guys like? Is everybody talking about the NIT? Of course they're not. It's a loser's tournament. When was the last time you've gone back to a college basketball team that has not even rich in tradition, but some tradition? Do they bring out at halftime the NIT champion from 1992?
That's brutal.
As I said, my alma mater,
brutal.
GW, won the NIT a couple years ago. Those people are getting immortalized. And the number one moment for the Maggie and Perloff show this week. Now, you would think Perloff was king for a day today, so he got to make us do silly things. And he had EJ singing and Pete singing and me reading a dramatic interpretation of Who Let the Dogs Out. Peter Schwartz did the Macarena in Bane's voice. But the number one moment of the Maggie and Perloff show is actually Perloff himself trying to sing one of our one-hit wonders.
I don't think people knew Got to Be Real. When you sing it, you're like, oh, I know that song. But Got to Be Real itself. Got to be... Oh,
no.
I don't remember. Got to Be Real. I don't even remember how it goes.
Sing it.
Hey, to be fair, can you guys sing Got to Be Real?
Nope.
You were giving me crap for Ice Ice Baby.
Well, everyone knows Ice Ice Baby. Nobody knows Got to Be Real.
What? Are you serious?
Yes, Ice Ice Baby is one of the all-time hits. Got to Be Real is not in the same league as that. Sing it, EJ. Sing Let's Hear Got to Be Real.
No, we can't do any more EJ singing. The thing is all of these songs are one-hit wonders, and we played them recently. So it doesn't matter if you know it or you don't know it. We had just played it.
We played Got to Be Real the other day. Tell me who sang Got to Be Real, if you could do that.
Oh, I don't
Lori Lynn?
Somebody.
Wow, you're close. Cheryl Lynn. I've never heard of that person, which makes a great one-hit wonder.
You can't know the artist on a really good one-hit
wonder. If you know the artist... That it's controversial because they might not be. I mean, you're telling me Chris Cross had, I swear they were huge for a while. The backwards pants, does that count as a hit?
If it's a cultural phenomenon too,
backwards clothes.
Genius marketing. Wow, a lot of singing on this show this week.
So are you guys nervous about your bracket? Like if Auburn loses to Yale today, I'm toast. I might be toast already. But I feel like there's a lot of perilous bracket stuff going on today.
The Kentucky losses crushed me yesterday.
Same.
Yeah, I mean, but everybody had Kentucky, so I don't think that's going to kill you. What if UConn goes down?
But then that's the death knell.
I looked at the Perloff bracket. They're more 70% of people have UConn, all Huskies. So it's going to be big. I can't wait.
Wow. This has been a really good one. This has been a great week. Lots going on. So many, many, many thank yous to EJ Stewart, who again has so many gifts. Singing Ice Ice Baby, not one of them.
Singing anything.
Pete Filotti is too sexy for his shirt. Thank you to Peter Schwartz, to Andrew Kaplan, Weedo's Coffee Drinkers. You guys are the best. We will see you on Monday. Enjoy the madness.
Macarena has boyfriend, who they call by the name of Vitorino.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.